The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there in a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has 5 porticos, in these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, somebody else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to the man, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I wonder how we hear these stories. After all, these are people in our stories who lived 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and back to the beginning of time. And these people seem very different than us. They have different names than us. They live in tents unlike us. They live in a faraway country in towns whose names we can't pronounce, and they have children whose names we can't understand. They speak a language we don't know. These are people who have never heard of the internet, people who don't know what cable TV is, let alone indoor plumbing. On the top of it, we would seem very different from the people that we hear about in church. But we must not forget that at the end of the day, these are people. People like you and I. People who have the same fears and desires that we have. People that want a happy home. People that want health. People that want prosperity. People that want peace. Their desires, their needs, shelter, food, clothing, love, are the exact same as ours 2,000 years later. How this manifests itself might be kind of similar to us too. Often we hear these stories of people in distant places, in faraway times. They can seem kind of superstitious, kind of silly. Some of them have multiple gods, gods of fertility, gods of rain, gods of the harvest, etc., etc. They make strange offerings. They believe what seemingly strange things. But again, us who are here in the modern world, are we that much different? Maybe not. Maybe we're a little superstitious. Maybe it's some elemental reality we believe in a similar worldview as them. I won't ask for a show of hands, because that might be embarrassing, but how many of us here who spill the salt shaker will throw a little salt over the shoulder for good measure? How many of us here are scared to walk under ladders? How many of us here are afraid to step on a crack and fear that we will break our poor mother's back? How many people here cringe at the thought of a broken mirror? How many people here after making a prediction? "I think my truck will get me to BC." Like somehow we're appeasing the Dodge God. We do these things 2,000 years later. When it comes to healthcare, maybe we're not so different than our forebears either. Today in our gospel reading, we see a superstitious healing of sorts. And we find this gospel reading taking place at the pool of Bethesda. And what this pool is, it's a pool we think probably about the size of this worship area. And it's just outside of the temple gate. That's the big place where they go to worship Yahweh and do all the festivals. And the people of Jesus' time had this belief. And they believed that when this pool bubbled, it seemed to be spring-fed, when people stirred the water up, if you were to get into the water while it was stirred up or bubbling, somehow spirits would come. And these spirits would heal you, they'd cleanse you, they'd make you better. And that's where we find the man in today's reading. This is a man for almost 40 years who's been paralyzed. He can't walk, so he has a mat, because he has to sit in the ground. There's no wheelchairs 2,000 years ago. There's no Medi-chair. All he has is a mat. And since the ground's a pretty dirty place, livestock, animals, people, he has a mat to sit on. And this is where Christ approaches him. He's at the edge of the pool. Now, can we relate to this story? I certainly can. For whenever I read this story, and this story is only found in the Gospel of John, coincidentally, whenever I read this story, I immediately think of a place in Saskatchewan. In fact, my parents have a cottage there. Manitou Springs at Watrous. I go to visit them, and what do I find? All along the road to the lake, and this is quite a lake. This lake is so salty, it has more salt than Dead Sea. You can't swim in it, and you can't sink in it. All you can do is bob up and down in it. And when I go there, what do I find? People. People from all around North America. Lining the lake is motorhomes and RVs from Colorado, Texas, Arizona, Ontario, British Columbia, Alberta. And in the morning about 10 a.m., the doors to the motorhome swing open, and out comes people. And they come to the lake to be healed. What are they healing? Arthritis. Bursitis. All kinds of creepy skin ailments. And they waddle into the pool. And they bob for hours. In the hopes that they will be healed. And if you talk to the people, they truly believe this is healing them. That this water has miraculous healing powers. Which is kind of odd, because whenever I put salt on something, it dies. You want to kill a weed? Put salt on it. Got slugs in your basement? Put salt on them. But nevertheless, for humans, salt is good. So these people bob in the water up and down for hours. And talk to them when they get out. In fact, some of them are so zealous for the powers of this miraculous healing water, they'd probably say we should close all Saskatchewan's hospitals. We should just bus everyone to Manitou. Got a broken leg? Throw in the lake. Gallstones in the lake. Psoriasis into the lake. But it worked. It probably saved some money in the budget, but I'm not sure how good it would do. That's what we find in today's gospel reading. This is magic water. This is water that's going to heal people. And this is where Christ encounters the lame man. And so Jesus walks up to him and says, very pointed question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healthy? And it seems like a fairly silly question. Because, of course, everyone who's sick desires to be healed. You would think so, wouldn't you? But the truth of the matter is, that's not the case. I deal with sick people all the time. And the reality is that some of them don't want to be healed. People with addictions. People with grief. People with depression. Even some people with health ailments. Some people don't want to be healed. The reasons for this, I'm sure, are many and varied. But the reality is, at a more basic level, to be healed involves change. And often we're scared of change. So Christ says to the man, do you want to be healed? Because Christ knows if this man is healed, that will involve a great change for his life. No longer can he beg at the temple gates. No longer can he hang out all day at the pool. If this man's healed, if this man can walk, he'll be expected to get a job. He'll be expected to be a productive member of society. He won't have his old friends anymore. Things will change for him. Is this man ready for that new way of being? That's what Christ is asking. Are you willing to look change square into the face? Well, the man kind of gives Jesus a black and white answer. Yes, I want to be made well, but here's my problem. I'm waiting in line, the water starts to bubble, and people butt in front of me. I just cannot get into the pool to be made well, he tells Jesus. See, the man still thinks that that pool has miraculous healing powers. So Christ answered to him, get up, take your mat, and walk. And that's what the man does. He gets up, takes his mat, and he walks. Now at this point in the sermon, we can go one of two ways. Part of my preparation for every Sunday is praying, is studying, and is reading. And I read a lot of sermons other pastors are writing and preaching. And one direction this sermon can go is for me to start telling you now that this man was healed, that this man was saved because he believed enough, because he was obedient to God enough, because he had enough faith. Now that sounds pretty good at a cursory level. If you just believe enough, you'll be healed. If you just pray enough, you'll be healed. If you do what God says, your life will be problem-free. If God says, give this, give it. If God says, go there, go there. If God says, do this, do it. My friends, we don't have a sickness problem. We have a faith problem. That's one direction this sermon can go. But there's a problem with that. That's not true in my ministry. I visit with people who are sick, who are hurting, people who are faithful, people who pray. You know what? Sometimes they continue hurting. Sometimes they continue to be sick. Sometimes I preside at their funeral. Are we to say that these people weren't obedient enough? Are we to say that these people weren't faithful enough? I hope not. Or how about us as a congregation? Look around us. What do we see? We see nice men and women, nice families. We've come together. We smile. We put on a happy face. It seems that we're perfect. But you know what? We're not perfect. Amongst us, all of us have pains. All of us have hurts. All of us face illness, face fears, face problems in our lives. Maybe it's in our workplace. Maybe it's in our relationships. Maybe it's with addictions that we battle, regardless of what it is. We all face problems in our lives. And if we don't recognize that, if we don't name it for what it is, then we're in trouble. So what do we say about ourselves as a congregation? Do we lack obedience? Do we lack faith? Do we not pray enough? Do we not study enough? Are we not open enough to the will of God? I don't think that's the case. For I see God at work all amongst us. This whole idea of if you believe the right thing, if you do the right thing, you will experience the right thing, that troubles me. Because that's not what I experience in working with, in ministering to, and in being ministered to myself by faithful men and women, people like yourself. No, when I read this story, I go a different direction. We are called to be Christ in the world. We are told by St. Paul that we are in the body of Christ. We are called to be Christ to our neighbor. Notice in this story, we have two figures. We have the man on his mat, and we have Jesus Christ. We are called to be Christ. We are not called to be the man on the mat waiting by the pool, waiting for Jesus to come and make us better. But we are called to be Jesus going to people, making their lives better. We are not called just to sit there we're not called just to sit somewhere for 30 odd years hoping that God comes by. We're called to be God to the world around us. And what does that mean? That means that we're supposed to search out the pools of our reality. Where are the pools of Bethesda in our world? Where do people go to cure their problems? Where do people go to find miracles? Where do people go to find meaning, to find hope? Where are those pools in our world? Because that's who we are called to go to like Christ. People with financial problems. Where's their pool? Where do they go for hope, for miracles, to have things fixed? The casino? Possibly. Maybe they'll find their hope there. People that suffer from loneliness, from lack of community, where do they go? Coffee Row? Tim Hortons? Where do they find their hope? Where do they find their friendship? Where do they find their happiness? People with depression, people with addiction, where do they find their hope? Where do they find their happiness? Where are they looking for their miracle cure? The bars? The taverns? People who are spiritually sick? People who long for God, where do they come? The churches of our community? Where are the pools in our world? Because they exist. In Christ's time, 2,000 years ago, if you were sick, you went to Bethesda. And you waited till the water started to bubble and you got in hoping things would be better. In our world, when times are tough, where do you go? Do you go to the casino? Do you go to the bar? Do you go to Coffee Row? Where is our pool? Where do we find our meaning? Where do we find comfort in our neighbor? Where do we hope things will be made better? And Christ calls us to search out those areas and go to them. And to show up and to say to those people, do you want to be made well? And if they answer yes, if they are receptive to the idea, we are called to share the love of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with them. Because ultimately, that is what makes us well, is the knowledge of God and His love for us. That is where we find our ultimate meaning. That is where we find our salvation. That is where we find the depth of our being, is in God's love. We are not called to be like the man, to sit on the mat and hope that Jesus comes by us one day, to live in our grief, to live in our pain, and just wait there. And that maybe Jesus will walk up. No. Christ sending words to His apostles, to His followers, at the end of Matthew, His words are, go out. Christ wants us out in the world, looking for those pools, those places that draw people in and offer an illusion of help, an illusion of security, that offer miracle cures to life's problems. Christ asks us to go to them and to be Christ at them, to share His love, the knowledge of His resurrection with those we encounter. But that could be difficult work. That can be scary work, because it'll take us to places we might not normally want to go to. It'll take us to the faces of neighbors that we might not want to talk to. It'll draw us out of ourselves in order to help others. And that's a real challenge. That's Christ's word for us. Yes, we are called to be obedient. Yes, we are called to be faithful. But we're meant to do that in service to our neighbor. To find those places that our neighbors go to and seek help. Because we have lots to offer. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of the resurrection. And we are called to share that with others. God is with you. And God is with us. Amen.